Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, another edition of the Watkins Award. And look who I have here with me today again. It is none other than J. Everett Pearsall here with T-Tape. Boy, I tell you, it's been a long one, Mr. Pearsall. You know, we were off last week, had, you know, a few little technical difficulties, but it gave you an opportunity to get a little break in the action because you know how you move around. How you doing today, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely outstanding. The day after a very relaxing Father's Day weekend.
Well, I'm glad you said that because what I want to do personally is wish all of the Watkins honorees who are daddies now. You know, when we meet those guys, they're young men. And there are quite a few of them that have, you know, more than one child. So I won't say anything wrong with having more than one. Some of them got a couple of squads, basketball squad. I'm not talking football. I mean, they got 11 of them, but no, they have five. Is it any that have five, Mr. Pearsall?
Ooh, I don't think any have five.
Okay.
I
know I've heard the number four.
You've heard the number four, maybe one, but three is a lucky number.
Okay, three is the lucky number, man. That's a great number, number three. Well, Mr. Pearsall, today, you know, considering it is Monday, June the 21st, the first day of summer. So this is going to be a long day for the world, but a short day for us because it's only an hour. We got 60 minutes. Now we got 59 minutes. We got to hurry up and get through this thing. Well, maybe 57 minutes. But nonetheless, it's going to be one of those days, Mr. Pearsall. I got some luggage to air out or some bad laundry to air out here. I got to do a few things. But I'm glad you're here. And, you know, you normally will kick it off and you have on a sporty Watkins Award shirt on. Today you have on a Stanford shirt. I mean, explain that a little bit, Mr. Pearsall.
Well, you know, our guest today went to Stanford, and so I actually was wearing another school from another Watkins team, and I said I dare not get on with that other person's team when the individual on today attended none other than Stanford University. And so he being a Cardinal, I decided to adorn the Stanford polo. But again, you know me, and don't be surprised at what I wear where I am. I'll also say that I may want to maybe go 1 week without you asking me how you can get this stuff online.
Okay. Well, I guess the 1 week that I was going to go, I can't go, you know, this week. Because I want to know how I can get this merchandise. I mean, in the background, look at what you had. I mean, you starting off with them daggone Cowboys again. You always want, but I must admit, I am a little softer with Cowboys now because none other than Matt Daniels is there in Dallas. Is he still there?
He is. And it says they're shaping up well. You know, I stay on top of it with Mad Dog.
Oh, man, the insider information stuff. Okay, that's how you want to go. Well, it's no secret. Our guest today is another Georgia guy. I mean, it is amazing. You know, where I like to grind this axe a little bit is the education system and how people disparage it here in the state of Georgia, how bad they say it is. Well, you know, I got some questions today for Jamal Rashad Patterson. He's a 2009 Watkins Award honoree who actually accepted the award. He is the individual that we, you know, certainly consider him more not of the winner, but he is the standard bearer. He is the individual that has to hold on to this trophy that's behind me. He has to protect it. And, you know, there's something I just want to ask you, Mr. Pearsall. That trophy itself, how much does that trophy weigh?
I want to tell you that it's 35 to 40 pounds.
Wow, man, that's a nice size trophy. I mean, so we want to make sure that people know that this award, this Franklin D. Watkins Award, is the real deal. This is legit. I mean, these young men come, you know, their applications come in from all over the country. We consider nothing but high school seniors for the award. And it's not just your GPA. It's not just your academic accolades. It's also your community service and how people feel about you. And we feel that if somebody is going to write you a recommendation who has a significant position within your community, that he or she is not going to put their name on the line for someone who is not serious about what it is that we do. So, you know, I really and truly appreciate everything that you have talked about. But tell me, Mr. Pearsall, is there a time that you have been asked to lower the standards to let someone in? Why are the standards so high, Mr. Pearsall?
Well, again, I don't know who it is that might be in the circle of people that you interact with via email, but you always talk about these emails that you receive, these nasty grams and such. And honestly, I've personally not had anyone come to me and ask me to do that, but through you, I have actually had to address the fact that people have asked about, you know, why don't you lower your standards? Why don't you allow what represents the Watkins Award, what's symbolic of the Watkins Award, to be used to honor an individual who has not been as academically astute or not done the things that we've asked them to do and to display in the package that they present to our selection committee? And you very well know my answer to that. There is no way that we're going to lower the standards. Why would we ask people to do less? Why would we set up an example of excellence to represent anything less than the people who compete for this award? And as you see year in and year out, at 4.0, 4.5, 4.9 grade point averages, and yet they're considered to be the best at their position, the best in their state, top 150 athlete when it comes to football, 50 in basketball, 50 in baseball. And so you're asking me to lower the standards with which I'd like to measure and have other individuals who are disenfranchised youth look up to and say that it's okay to get a C maybe, okay to have a 2.3. That just doesn't sit well, and it's not what we're about.
Well, I'm glad you pointed me out and say it's the circle of people who I'm around. Now, these are not my necessarily friends. These are just people that I meet out in the street just like you. So let's not get it twisted now that it's a circle of my friends that want me to lower or at least talk to the board about lowering the grade. So let's get that straight first.
I know you've been attacked. I know you've been attacked.
Secondly, you talk about 4.9. I'm sorry to point out the fact that there was a young man from Georgia by the name of Chris Burnett that had a 5.1. So you left out 0.2 on those grades. So your math is incorrect today. So I just want to get you straight. And we will have Chris Burnett here on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. He'll be here because I know you beat me up talking about some. He got some guy to talk about 5.1. Well, you know, let's go back to what I said in the beginning, is that the Watkins Award, certainly we started the show itself on January the 25th. And now this is the 21st episode. The 21st episode. And so I just took a casual look at some of this, these young men that we have had on our show. Now, and let me restate that. I have taken a casual look of all the young men that we have had on our show. And what I'd like any and everybody to do is to look back on those young men that we've had on the show. And I've looked at the GPAs and looked at their backgrounds. And is there any other show? Is there any other award? Have you ever heard of young men that we're bringing to the table who are coming from all different types of families? I know that some people would say, well, you know, if he got his mother and his father there, you know, that's expected of him. He grows up in a nice neighborhood, middle class neighborhood. That's expected of him. But let me restate that. You, if you were here, if not, you can go to any podcast platform right now. Mr. Pearsall and I are live. This is a live show, but the show is being recorded. So you can go to any podcast platform and hear any of the former shows, the old shows. You can go back to the first one, which was January the 25th. Or you can go to the last one we had, which was 2 weeks ago, and that show was with Nick Maddox. So I'm just telling you, go back to the shows and listen to those shows. But these young men that we're bringing to the table are the real deal. And what we want you to know is that this is your son that's downstairs watching TV right now, who you think is the best football player, baseball or basketball player. I don't know about who you hanging out with, Mr. Pearsall, but I do know that there are people who love to brag on their kids. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to say to the listening audience who has a young man that's in their neighborhood, who might be a relative or a friend. You don't have to be this kid's uncle or anything of that nature. What we want you to do is, like Mr. Franklin D. Watkins himself, all you have to do is just grab that kid and say, hey, young man, you know, what is it that you're trying to get out of this thing called football, baseball, or basketball? Sports itself. I mean, clearly, these kids come from all different types of backgrounds. And so in the South, I'm just going to call it like it is. They call a slowdown here. They tell, you know, you ain't got no ball players down there. You don't have any athletes down there. That is, you're just slow. There's nothing going on down there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, again, I'm sorry I did not start off with the disclaimer, because the views and the opinions by the Watkins Award show are those of J. Everett Pearsall and T. Tate. Today we got a young man that's in here that is a part of this, is going to be a part of this conversation that certainly is going to add to either the truth or the myth that you have about the state of Georgia. I mean, clearly, I like to always talk about the fact that there was a coach. Now, I'm going to get closer and I'm going to get more specific. There was a football coach that I went to and I asked him, I said, you know, I'm looking for young men who have the potential of being a part of the Watkins Award. And he said, well, what is the Watkins Award? I told him a little bit about what the Watkins Award was all about. And he looked me in my face, straight in the eye, and said, you must be crazy. There is nobody that's going to fit that type of criteria for any kind of award that means academics and athletics here. You must, and I mean, I looked at this man and I was bewildered. But ladies and gentlemen, I got another young man. I mean, it's amazing how it is. We done had J.R. Lemon. We've had David Yankee. Who else, Pearsall? And we had
Vardas.
Yeah, Vardas. I'm just thinking of the Georgia guys that have.
Oh, gone. Georgia guys.
Georgia guys. You at least did hit it on the nail that Vardas, he, you know, came out of Georgia as well. And now we have another guy, last but not least. We're not finished, ladies and gentlemen. We are not finished. Now, who we got here today? Clearly, I don't even know how to use the words to describe Jamal Rashad Patterson and his family, especially when I first met them. But I used to hear about Jamal Rashad all the time. I mean, because he was an elite athlete. So first things first, you know, I normally do this introduction, you know, and there's a lot that can be said about Jamal. But the guys who are listening to this show, I'm going to get straight to the juggler that Jamal was ranked in the top 10 with all the ranking services. I mean, you name it, that, you know, the guys, they like to talk about Rivals. They like to talk about scout.com. They like to talk about ESPN. Jamal was on all those radars. Let's make it clear. He was, you know, another thing about Jamal is, you know, the coaches talk about what type of kid he was. Now, he's a grown man now, but at that time, he was a young man, still a teenager. The coaches were talking about the one thing that we talk all the time, and Vince Okabasi, or Coach O, said it himself, and what he looked for in a player. And the one thing that he talked about was character. This young man, Jamal Rashad, has nothing but glowing character praises when they talk about him. Now, he got every academic award you can think about coming through high school. He was a three-time All-State track. He was a track guy. He had, you know, and he broke the state 300 record his senior year. So I'm, you know, again, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired about people saying that these kind of individuals do not exist. And I know that once I met his family, I mean, everybody from his grandmother all the way back, forward, sideways, is involved in his life. And now Jamal not only used his athletic gift, I tell everybody the same thing. Your athletic gift is an opportunity to get a free education. And Jamal got that free education. He got everything. And I want some of you to know that these are normal young men. I mean, can't be no normal than Jamal Rashad Patterson. And with that said, I want to introduce none other than Jamal Rashad Patterson. How you doing?
Hey, how you all doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, turn it up just a little bit more. Just a
little. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. I mean, first and foremost, thank you for that luxurious, beautiful introduction. That's definitely flattering. Definitely, I take great pride in that. The impact you could have on others by just being yourself, being genuine. Definitely thank you all for visualizing and seeing me that way.
You fading out, Jamal, a little bit. And I don't want nobody to say that, nah, he was hiding. He ain't want us to hear what he had to say. Nobody. I ain't giving nobody that excuse.
I can call in if that's best. I'll call in instead of using the phone.
Well, let's see. Let's play around for a second. We got time. Oh. We got time. You're a technology guy. Come on and work this thing out here. You are a technology guy. So let's see if we can work this thing out. Mr. Pearsall, you know, he's a technology guy. I'm sure he's going to send out some things and make it happen. But Jamal Rashard, let's start from the juggler, the beginning. When did your parents make it clear to you that they were not going to accept less than excellence in the classroom?
I would say that was something just my entire life. I guess with most Watkins guys, you know, athletics came on the back end, and we did well in athletics because of our hard work, our determination, our proper pre-planning, and just the will to be great. Never wanted to be subpar or feel any type of mediocrity. I recall being in elementary school every summer. My parents, you know, we'd go hang out with our family in Florida, where my mom's family from, city of Atlanta, where my dad's family was. And every summer, I had to do these, you know, math books, science books, and English books, and they all were 2 years ahead of my grade level. So when I was in second grade, I had to finish these math, science, and literature books. As far as grading scores, you have to answer all the questions. There's no answers in the back of the book, so I had no cheat sheet. So I had to finish all those before the summer ended, or I wouldn't get new school clothes. And the thing about that, it showed me that when you do good, you get good. When you do well, you're rewarded well. Another thing that happened was for every A, I would get paid for it. So in elementary, I'll get $5 for every A I got. And middle school, I'll get $10 for every A I got. And in high school, I'll get $20 for every A I got. And as a kid, any type of money is a lot of money. And if you know you can have a chance to make money, you're going to do the best. So it was kind of like, I guess I was getting bribed to get all A's. But after a while, you start learning things. You start picking up a passion for just education and intellect and just trying to accumulate as much wisdom as possible. And I think that was definitely something that set the stage for me.
You know, now you broke the bank when you got to high school. I mean, your GPA was a 4.
They switched it up a little bit on me. They did. It was lump sum payments instead of per grade.
Oh, okay. I want the listening audience to know that, first of all, they can look it up themselves. You know, Henry County High School. I mean, we're not talking about the biggest academic high school in the state of Georgia. So we're taking one person out of this, out of the pile down there at Henry County High School, and he's telling us what his parents did. I mean, this isn't, I call it secret sauce, but the cat is out the bag. It's no more secret sauce. Jamal Patterson is getting ready to tell us everything that we need to know. So now you getting these rewards, you know, you get to high school. When did you realize that you were going to merge these academics and athletics together?
The crazy thing about that is, obviously, we spoke on earlier, like a kid from Georgia, we just play. We're outside, we're just playing around. I remember it being 100 degrees. We're outside playing 21. You can't come in and out the house. So you got to make up your mind, if I'm going to stay out, just come in later. You know, we drinking out the water hose. You just don't want to go in. You're having fun with your friends. For the longest, it was just fun and games. It wasn't until my freshman year of high school, there was some guys from Georgia Tech, Gary Guyton, Jamal Lewis, Tashard Choice. I always remember these guys. They came. They were Georgia Tech football players at the time. And seeing guys who were, you know, 4 to 5 years older than me, but at the time we see these guys as Greek gods. Like, I'm in my freshman pre-pubescent body, this little scrawny little kid. And you see these guys in here, you know, got their facial hair. They've been working out. You know, they come in there, you got the bass in their voice. And those guys were so candid and just so real with us about everything. It wasn't just you go play football, you go to the NFL, it's glamorous, these people love you, they fan you. They really told us about the adversity you have to face, yet you can persevere through it. And just the lifestyle they were living and the way they were telling it, I just knew that that could segue me in a position to be successful in life. You know, I always had my village, my parents, obviously, you know, the gentlemen, the seniors in my life, as you all, to be great role models. But to hear someone that you can see as a peer age and those guys being so candid, being so honest, yet still saying how fun it is. You know, it's fun. You know, you get to meet people from the world. You get to travel. And again, coming from the South, you just don't want to be stagnant because, you know, the South is a place where you can kind of stick there if you don't, you know, pursue your adventures in life or things of that nature. So having those guys talk to us, it really motivated me and it shifted the way I was training. At first, I was just working out and playing. But from speaking to those guys, I really came up with a plan. How can I get stronger? How can I get faster? How can I get sharper in my football IQ? How can I get sharper in and out of breaks? You really have to train out here. In the sense of growing up, you see, like, we're just joking around. No, this is serious. You know, it's real. It's a blood sport to an extent that guys are really competing out there for scholarships. At the next level, guys are, you know, they're competing to pay the mortgage. You know, so right. It's legit out there. And you have to know that you have to really come with it and be prepared for it. Again, control what you can control and let God do the rest. But everything that I can control, I'm putting my best foot forward and I'm going all the way. And sometimes, you know, that path can go a different route, but you got to find a way to do it. You definitely do. So that was definitely the turning point for me when football stopped being so much as a child's game and it became a business move.
Well, we're getting ready to go into a quick break. But I want you to think about it. There have been people other than your mom, your pop, your grandmother, God bless her soul, you know, people that were connected to you in the family, and you alluded to it. So when we come back from this break, I want you to just think about it on the break. Who were the ideal role models at the high school level? Who were those who pushed you and did not accept mediocrity? You hear with Jamal Patterson, T. Tate, and of course J. Everett Chisholm. It's the Watkins Award Show. We loving every bit of it. And I'm telling you, you know, Jamal Rashard is the man. I mean, Georgia is proud to have him a part of our family. So on the break, we're coming back. And certainly we loving every bit of it because he's going to give us that song that's going to make your son, or possibly your boy, that next academic All-American. We look forward to seeing you when we come back.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Ah, yeah, we're back at the Watkins Award. We're here. This is J. Everett Pearsall, T. Tate, and our special guest, and that is Jamal Rashard Patterson. He went to Henry County High School down there in Henry County. And our question just before we went on that break was, who was that one influence, that person in your life that really certainly wouldn't allow you to go any other way other than the excellent way? Who was that person, whether it was a man or female?
I would say it was definitely both of my parents. However, it was my father being obviously a young man, and that's who I, you know, envision and would only inspire us to be like, in the sense of seeing him as, you know, a father, seeing him as a husband, seeing him just being head of house and take care of everything and do it with so much composure and calm. Like, my dad to me is like a sniper, just real chill, laid back, is going to hit his target, you know. And sometimes, you know, I can be more riled and more energetic, but he's just so cool. But I know when he gets there and you get the tone in his voice, like, hey, it's serious. No, it's time to get it. So I always saw my dad as that role model and the guy I always envisioned to be in any facet of life, academia, athletics, family-wise, and just his public perception. My dad's reputation is impeccable. I meet people from all lands of the world, and they just have nothing but great stories, you know, of him. And I'm fortunate to still have him in my life so I can still, you know, be able to, you know, sometimes when people may lose a parent, you kind of just get those visual words, you know, those words from others. But the fact that I can put those words with the man and feel the exact same way is just like, wow, I definitely feel beyond blessed to have him, again, not just as a father, but as a role model. And to be honest, I have to give everyone credit. You know, people say it takes a village, but it really does. And as odd as it may sound, I can recall any deed, any good deed anyone has ever done for me. Even when you asked me that question about high school, I remember those guys' names. I always will. I remember first getting the call from, you know, Mr. Everett. And it's crazy that I had been in several award shows. I mean, in the sense of we've all had awards. You win them, you get them, you leave. It all, you come, you smile, you take pictures, you leave. But the Watkins World, it really means the world to my family and myself. Because, as you said, coming from the South, and you did the introduction, you can kind of start thinking sometimes you're one of one. You know, you're real down to earth, you're hospitable, but it's something where it's like, we're not fully clicking in the Watkins. It allowed that. It was very similar and fully like-minded guys like myself. And again, some of these are my closest friends. And it gave you just a sigh of relief, because sometimes you think you're going way too hard. You're just like, man, why am I going by the, you know, this way? Am I being over-dedicated? Am I being delusional? Like, does this really work? You know, it's kind of like how people may feel about, you know, their religion. And I was religious to the process. And, you know, you can get lost in it. But when you're speaking to guys and you also meet guys, you just face some other men have met that really kept me, you know, motivated. I know for sure, me being some high school kid, if these guys are in college, they went through the same, if not bigger problems than I have. You know, they're dealing it in college. When I got to the collegiate level, you know, people outside of college, they're going through way bigger problems than my, you know, thing. So I never gave myself a pity party in that situation. But again, everyone I think is a role model in my life that I've encountered, from high school teammates to high school teachers, again, to both of you guys, to my older sister, grandparents. Just meet someone down the street. You know, in the South, we talk a lot. You can just run into somebody. You have no idea. Hey, how you doing? 15 minutes of conversation. If they can give me any wise words in that conversation, it really does stand dear and near to me. And I just don't want to memorize it, but also, you know, internalize and live it. I think that's a big thing. A lot of times we can get the good word, you know, but you have to live it out. And I think that's the biggest thing. And again, the world doesn't owe me anything. I'm not entitled to nothing in this world. So if anyone can spare some time and some wisdom to me, it's greatly appreciated forever. It honestly is.
That's powerful. You know, I want to also point out the fact that what you did, I asked you to come and speak to some guys when I was AD at a prep school. And, you know, Jamal Rashad Patterson didn't even flinch. He just asked me what day, what time, and he came out. And I mean, these guys' eyes were wide open. I mean, to even hear, they were amazed, baffled, you know, that here you got a young man from the state of Georgia who had an opportunity to play in the Under Armour game and or the U.S. Army game. So that already spoke about your athletic credentials. And of course, when I told them what your GPA was, that was a whole nother world. But, you know, to be that athletic, when you got to the point of your senior year and making a decision, and I know that Pearsall will get more in detail with it, but what I guided you to ultimately selecting Stanford University? Because you could have gone anywhere. How did Stanford get into the mix?
Well, the crazy thing is, my junior year, Stanford came to actually visit me. And again, as spoken earlier, I respect every man with feet on the ground. Very humble, very respectful. And at the time, obviously, Stanford wasn't good football as far as their record and their history had gone. And the funny thing is, the LSU coordinator just left, honestly, just walked out. And right before him, the Florida coordinator just walked out. So you're saying the last two national championship coordinators just left here, talking good, feeling good. And my coach comes in like, hey, man, Stanford want to holler at you. And I'm like, all right, cool. Hey, coach. Are they like, you know, I'm just acting like, are they good? Like, what's up with Stanford? Like, I just didn't recall them being good in football because I was just so focused on the national champions and, you know, the big names, the Heisman winners and things of that nature. And Stanford wasn't that. And he was like, yeah, it's in California. Like, he was like, if anything, just go out there and visit, things of that nature. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I come in there and be like, oh, great. Thanks for coming. Like, I love that Stanford's here. This is huge. Like, this is very humbling. Thank you all for coming there. You know, just, I don't want to make them feel, you know, that he can't compete with the others because he had saw him as well, so he kind of was feeling a little bit defeated. But I'm like, nah, man, pick your spirits up. It's all good. Like, I appreciate you taking the time to come all the way from California to visit me. And, you know, I go home that day. I had practice that day. My parents come pick me up from practice, and they're like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, oh, it's cool. LSU came through. Florida came through. My dad's like, yeah, that's what's up, man. Da-da-da. We're talking. And I was like, oh, yeah, and matter of fact, Stanford gave me a packet. And I was like, yeah, no figure. Stanford gives you a packet with a whole questionnaire and a brochure talking about how nice the school is and all that. So I had it like, oh, yeah, Stanford came through. They gave me this. And my mom just, like, lit up. Like, Stanford? Like, she just, like, screamed. And my dad was like, Stanford, that's real good. But he still was like, yeah, but, you know, national champions just came through. And me and him were the same way. So we kind of like, yeah, Stanford, that's what's up. That's what's up. That's cool. And then my mom just said, hey, just give him an honest, just give him an honest chance. Like everyone else, give him a fair chance. You know, speak to him, take your visit out there. Just don't short yourself out on anything from public perception or what you're assuming. And I did that, gave Stanford definitely a chance, went out there and just fell in love with it. To me, Stanford is like, it's no surprise, a lot of Watkins guys went there. But I feel like for a lot of guys who are Watkins men, it's like a utopia for us. In the sense of, we're just not fighting. Like, Stanford really is, like, just a peace ground. Like, obviously, you're always just competing. You're competing, competing. You feel like you're going against, I hate to say it, but jealousy. It could be crab in the barrel mentality from where you may be from or things of that nature. You just feel like there's a lot of just tension. Well, Stanford is tension-free. And I say it again, like, my city, I love McDonough, Georgia. Nothing but love there. But you're going to feel tension at times, especially when someone can feel, why him and not me? And it's unfortunate that people can feel like that. But it happened a few times. But again, the city showed crazy love. I still love it to the day. It's my home forever. And I don't live there now, but it's home for me forever. And when I went out there, I just loved it. Like, it was just a peace of mind. It's crazy how it was. It was California, which was different for me coming from Georgia, you know, palm trees and shade and having wind and 70 degrees summer nights. That had never happened in Georgia. So no mosquitoes. So all of that. It was just very peaceful out there. The guys out there, the teammates, they were just real down to earth, mellow guys. Very mature beyond their years because they just had a plan and they knew what time it was. And I felt like I fit in that environment socially and just want to have a peace of mind very well. Of course, athletically, I was like, man, they're just not there, you know. They didn't have that dog in them how we came in the South. Like, we were serious about this sports stuff. Like, we're out there playing. And a lot of guys, they didn't have it at first, but definitely shout out to Coach Harbaugh for shifting that. And I trusted from talking to him and recruiting me, he knew it as well. Harbaugh was willing in that sense where, like, hey, man, like, I know these guys they could be Boy Scouts. Trust me, I know you're not a Boy Scout, and these guys are Boy Scouts. You know what I'm saying? And no offense to Boy Scouts, but you know what it means. Like,
absolutely.
You know, you guys are a little more rougher, and to say that, you guys are a little rougher, but, you know, he said, hey, we're going to change that. We're going to bring winning. He spoke about what he did at San Diego. And then I just saw, honestly, I'm going to keep it real with you. I saw the average salary that a Stanford grad made come out of college, and then I saw average salary of a lot of other schools, and I was like, hey, worst case scenario, you know, I got a good chance there to get something. So that was definitely another thing that played in fact. But, you know, the guys are just so cool, and, you know, shout out again to Mr. Everett. He knew guys who had went, you know, the Stanford route, and he was able to put me in you know, and Chris was a Stanford guy, JR, Stanford guy. Luke Powell, who's also a fraternity chapter brother, who also was a Stanford guy. So the fact that he put me in, you know, even Julian Jenkins is another guy. Again, I'm telling you, I'm for real. When y'all introduce me to these people and these people in my life, I remember them. I try to have like a wolf elephant memory because people deserve their kudos. I definitely want to give people their flowers while they're still living at any chance possible. But he put me in a network with those guys, and they were just so real. You know, some had the NFL success. Some had either entertainment, professional success. Yet they all could tell me the exact same thing about their experience. Was it worth it? And what was worthwhile? And injuries. I know injuries were the thing. Luckily, knock on wood, I never faced injuries. But I knew if injuries was a career-ending injury, where would I really want to be at? Football's out of the mix. You know, football, the fun part of football is only 12 weeks, which is the football season. The rest of the part, you got to be there. Like, so I hope you're somewhere you really want to be or at least enjoy, because after that, you're just grinding school. So to have some place, definitely enjoy. That helped a lot. And again, just talking to wise men, and sorry to be long-winded, but there was another incident where Central Florida was my first offer. And this means the world to me when I tell you this. The coordinator, Central Florida, black guy, I guess I don't want to throw his name out there now. He's still coaching, but because this could be bad for him. But he was their head coordinator. He was my recruiting coordinator. And he asked me, you know, young brother, just be real with me. Where are you leaning towards? I told him, I love you all. Central Florida, I felt like I owed them that. That was the first school to give me an offer. So I felt like they really believed in me. That was the first school to believe in me. And I felt entitled to that, that I owed them that. Central Florida, LSU, Florida, Clemson, and I said Stanford. He asked me, have you been accepted yet? I said, yes, sir. I just got accepted last week. Go to Stanford. He said, as bad as I want you to come here, if I ever have a chance to tell a young brother that have an opportunity to go to Stanford, I'm telling him, take away my job, take away my profession, whatever I got to do with this recruiting. He was like, hell yeah, I want you. But at the end of the day, if you have a chance to go there, go. And he previously had coached there for a while in his earliest career. And that meant the world to me. Because how humble can you be to tell someone that? Mm-hmm. As bad as you want someone, you have to tell them, hey, you got to go. You have to. Like, for our culture, for black men, you need to go there. Mm-hmm. And something like that always, when you said, hey, just send me the time. You wanted me to talk to those guys? Because we need that. You know, the world needs that. We need to keep each other sharp. You know, to me, I think black men are the greatest group of thinkers. You know, as wise as that may seem, but I think when we really put our heads together and we work together, what haven't we accomplished?
Well, I'm a leave it there. I'm a let Pearsall take over, but I am going to say two quick things. One, you know, we have free thinkers at, you know, with the Watkins Award honorees. I mean, these guys are free thinkers. Now, I remember when you talked about it earlier, you was this scrawny little skinny kid coming out of, you know, Henry County High School, and you had plaits in your hair. You went to Stanford. You know, I remember this. And you kept your identity. You didn't lose your. So I want the other young men to know that they can go to a college and not lose their identity. And last but not least, as I hand you over to Mr. Pearsall, I remember you and I talking one day on the phone. And it was a lot of noise in the background, and I'm like, "Where are you?" And you told me you was doing a Black Lives Matters march, and I was so proud of you because I know you that you're not violent, you're not trying to initiate any violence. But you just want things to be right. You just want to be a person that lives by certain morals. So I want to tell you personally, from my heart, from my family, from everyone, you know, thank you for being who you have been, Jamal Rashad Patterson. And for those who don't know, I will let you know, a lot of the guys that I know that listen to the show, that you are a member of Omega Sci-Fi. So let them know, you know, who you are, that you went out there, that there are some African-American fraternities out there at Stanford that continues to let you foster who you are as a man. So with that said, Mr. Pearsall, he's all yours.
Thank you for giving me 3 minutes, Tyrone.
Jamal,
you know, I got all day for me. I have no rest.
Hey,
y'all know all my time.
You know how we roll, baby. You know how we roll.
You got all my time.
Jamal Rashad Patterson, a.k.a. Mr. Patterson, a.k.a. JP, a.k.a. J-Pat, a.k.a. Mr. Cheetah, a.k.a. Mr. State Champion, a.k.a. once the fastest man in Georgia, a.k.a. Sticky Fingers, a.k.a. Mr. Corporate, a.k.a. Mr. UPS. Welcome to the show, my man.
Appreciate it. You know, I love it. You know, I follow everyone on here, all the Watkins guys. You know, it really is a brotherhood. And it's such a great thing to see these guys, even if you can't see them in person as much. You know, this year we didn't actually have the ceremony this year. But to be able to see these guys and hear them, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Shout out to you. When I had the first opportunity to meet you, I came to see you play. I had a chance to meet your father, who you're spot on when you talk about someone who is, he's one of those guys that he doesn't have to talk about it all the time, but he leads by example. But when he speaks, you listen. And your mom, without going into it because I don't have a lot of time, is one of the strongest women I've ever met in my entire life and has made a strong impact on me in terms of how I continue to drive forward. Watching you play in that football game and just wreck the field and then finding out you're also a junior state champion in track. And people talk about the fact that we're only doing baseball, basketball, and football. These guys are multifaceted, playing numerous sports, all of them. And then you look through your day-to-day. One of the questions I have to ask you, and all those good, strong, positive things that are going on, and we know how mom and dad did when you got home. Let's talk about some of the obstacles that you had to face. Because we know, again, being in Georgia, and then all the people around you when you leave that household, there were some things that you probably had to overcome in high school in order to get to where you are. Talk about that.
I'm actually glad that we're hitting on this because I think it's key, especially for the listeners, especially for the young brothers who's going to this, so they don't get derailed by adversity. There's going to be some adversity, and I tell guys, you know, persevere and see it through. For myself on a high level, is that I'm not foreign to being the only black guy in the room to love other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So in that sense, I don't just represent myself, my family. I represent the perception of our race. And if there's someone in there who can be prejudiced and may have these things, we just killed that whole stereotype. If you think, you know, we're all hooligans and all thugs and can't speak proper English and those things of nature, that whole narrative and prejudice you may have, it's over now. If you're in a room with me, you're going to be sharp. You're going to be humble with pride, have humility with dignity, and be on it. You know, you're going to be in there to be the alpha wolf. You're not going to have some poor, scared, shattered puppy black boy. That's not going to happen. And I think we have to hold that. I tell guys, control what you can control. Again, let God do the rest. But if you feel some way, you have to stand on that. At the end of the day, all you have is your pride, who you are, represent you are. Never sacrifice your morals, your belief, and your principles to appease others just in the case you think it can get you a leverage up in a sense of, you know how it is in college, you can get, college coaching wants you to kiss a lot of butt. You know, to an extent, a lot of places want you to kiss a lot of butt. And at the end of the day, is that coming from the South, we were just so talent-driven. We were just like, the best play, you know, our ideology. And I think a lot of kids is that if I do really well, if I run really fast, if I jump really high, I'm going to play. But then you also realize there also is a level of discretions and level and some programs and some situations that you may be better than the guy ahead of you, yet that guy could be an upperclassman and he's not messing up. You know, he's not doing enough. You say if you are a 1,500 yard receiver, yet he's a 1,300 yard receiver and he's doing what he's supposed to do, the odds of you, you know, replacing that guy are very slim. And you can get discouraged. You can get upset. You can kind of get rightfully so, you know, you feel like you told me all these things when recruiting me. You told me to be like this. yet it doesn't. It changes a lot, you know. They even know your pet goldfish name when you was in elementary when you get recruited. And you get out there and they just put that sticker in your last name on your helmet with a jersey with no name on the back. And you realize, like, hey, I'm back at it. But I think a lot of times, and I want to tell the young dudes, remain humble in the sense of being able to humble yourself again. Because I do know, at 14 years old, we were those small pups. And then as you stated earlier, Mr. Tate, is that you get to the senior year, you just feel like that dog. Like, who can tell me anything? Like, you just get this sense of invincibility. Like, I'll walk outside right now and stand in front of the road and these cars gonna go around me. They know, and if they hit me, they gonna damage their car, not me. Which is, you know, it's crazy when I think about my 18-year-old just, I can do anything. I can go lift this. I can go do that. It's funny. I love it because it was like, man, I love the enthusiasm that I had. But you have to re-humble yourself again. And as you spoke on earlier, the fraternity, you know, as well as you all fraternities, is that it was a humbling experience. I think the way the fraternity brought me in helped me with my college career in the sense of not transferring, not just saying F this sports, I'm quitting, things of that nature, because it really showed me how to persevere through adversity. And you can really see it through. And I think that's what helped me tremendously, I definitely will say. And I tell guys, just whoever your role models are, trust me, I'm pretty sure your role models are guys of high standards and status. Trust me, they've been through something.
The beautiful thing is the fact that I'm wearing Stanford, which is the first time I hadn't worn an Alliance piece of apparel. But I wanted to represent the fact that here we're talking about the number one receiver in the country, the state champion track. He goes to Stanford. He's an engineer for a major. He graduates from Stanford and now is crushing it in corporate America. Quickly, tell us about some of the things you're doing right now, not only being a leader within our organization, but real quickly, tell us about some of the things you are doing now, as well as how people can reach you. E-commerce now, so I guess I'm good for corporate, switching towards e-commerce with the pandemic. Just had another opportunity to start making money, which I'm super excited about. And, you know, just living life and enjoying it, and doing my duty as I can in service, taking advantage of it anytime something happens, just being a bridge builder, and continue to cross that bridge that got built for me. But I swear, I'm really humble. I'm down to earth. I got time for anyone. You know, Everett, the young brother that just crossed Omega at UGA, hey, you know, come on, what's up? You know, anybody to do that Auburn, I have to hit Everett up, say, hey, you know, my wife, Auburn alumni, she graduated there, ran track and field. And, you know, it's only an hour and a half away. You know, if you want to get away,
That's right.
Come on.
Get your Hey, well, hey, thank you for being with us today. Jamal Rashad Patterson, another guy from Georgia that goes to Stanford. We appreciate you. This is T-Tate and J. Everett Pearsall here with you again. Thank you again, and good luck and goodbye to everybody.